Support for Writer's Almanac on WVIK comes from the Mississippi Valley Regional Blood Center, working together with volunteer donors to provide blood products and services to hospitals throughout the region. Information at bloodcenter.org. And now to the book bag.
Let me begin by talking a little bit about the suggestions we've gotten. We probably, in the past couple of months, have gotten 50 or so suggestions from readers. And the interesting thing is that there have so far been no duplicates whatsoever.
No kidding.
Books are alive and well. I was just reading an article in The Economist Pete Peterson gave me this morning. Last year, 2013, there were 1.3 million USBN numbers handed out, which means that many published books in the world. The chances of your reading one book a week are not very good. Even if you did, think of what your chances are of duplicating. I mean, the world of books, this article says, in spite of e-books and e-readers and kids that don't read anymore, books are alive and well.
Oh, my.
And I've got two suggestions from Katie Kiley, who was in. She's a member of the local arts community, and she was in commemorating Bruce Carter's death. But she has two suggestions. Mark Helprin's Soldier of the Great War. He's a writer who deserves a lot more attention and a lot more readers than he gets. I mean, he's a very good writer. He just has somehow never managed to make it up to the top ranks. But this is, and I haven't read this, but this is her account of it. It's a World War I tale of an aesthetics professor torn from his comfortable life in Rome to fight with his fellow Italians. She said it's harrowing and it's visually stunning descriptions of war. The great passage for her, and this is what a good book does to you, it changes your life. The main character escapes. He goes AWOL from his regiment, finds his way back to his father's house in Rome, and stows away in his father's bedroom. He comes in all full of scabs and cuts and bruises and dirty clothes and lies flat on the back on some incredibly expensive Italian sheets and pillowcases. And it was that moment, that paragraph, that changed Katie Kiley. She went out and bought yards of material and began to make pillowcases for her friends. You know, now, a book that can have that kind of an effect is probably worth reading. So I would recommend that particular book.
Okay.
She has another book that she's recommending, The Luck of Huemac, H-U-E-M-A-C, by Daniel Peters, written in about 1981. I believe it got the Nobel, or the Pulitzer Prize, rather, in the early 80s. This novel, Katie says, covers four generations of an Aztec family, 1428 to 1520, and is filled with political intrigue, wonderfully rich historical details. For example, the sacred ball game, which was a life-and-death affair played on the ball court of the gods, as you know, played with the skulls of enemies, and a great psychological insight into this warrior society. So there are two, again, that haven't been duplicated, but that both sound really worth reading. Don?
Well, I have a suggestion, something I didn't know about that I read in The Guardian. And that is that Princeton University Press has given us the original versions of the Grimm Brothers fairy tales in English. It turns out the Grimm Brothers wrote seven different versions of their fairy tales, and each version softened the preceding one just a little bit more, added a little bit more religious content, but the original stories were horrendous. They were horror stories. The one tale, I think they dropped altogether, children playing at killing a pig or something. So a boy slits the throat of a smaller kid, and the kid's mother comes and stabs him. That's the story. Rapunzel in the tower was actually made pregnant by the prince. And the stories of the cruel mothers-in-law were originally the cruel mothers. But they changed as the times changed. They changed to fit middle-class values. They changed the stories to fit religious convictions. But if you go back to the original, you're dealing with something really kind of ugly.
We somehow came across an early version of Grimm, not quite that early, but in this one, Rose Red and Snow White, there is Snow White picking the nits out of Rose Red's hair.
Oh, boy. It's
we can't give our kids anything but pablum these days.
Yeah, well, that's it for this edition of Scribble.